comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. I have not mentioned, I think, in a couple of days, the K-Files, but it's important because we have new listeners each and every day. And so if you're brand new, you don't know about it, or if you're a procrastinator, you need to hear about it again, we publish a free weekly newsletter, and it's a good one. It's called The K-Files, and the operative word here is free, really free, no strings attached. Just scoot over to my website and click where it says K-Files and subscribe. And then you get an email automatically. It's got a link in it for you to activate your subscription. Do that, and you'll start getting the K-Files. You can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. But most people don't. Most folks stay with us forever, and we hope you will too. But if you're not subscribed, there's no genius in sitting in the dark when light is available. Watching our shows is part of what happens if you are a member of the Kevin Smith Show, if you're part of the members community, and you can watch live. So we got folks watching right now in the members community. But in addition to that, if you happen to live in a time zone where it's not convenient for you to watch live, we have something called the latest show. So this show tonight, well, we capture it. It's live right now, but we capture it. And then we do some encoding to change it to a format where it can stream over the internet. We upload it, and it's up there for 24 hours. And so in any time zone on this planet, you can still watch this show, even if you didn't catch it live. In addition to being able to do that, it is now possible for you to do that with your mobile devices. So, you know, if you've got an iPhone, an Android, iPad, any of that smartphone stuff, almost all smartphones can access that latest show live. So you want to be sure you fix it if you're not a member. Nobody but you can fix it. It's $7.50 a month. We're 100% listener supported, you know. That means we don't play advertisements to sell you junk. And the only way that we can be here is for you, our listeners, to support us. And we operate on the principle that, hey, you know what? If this show is good enough for people to support it, they will. And if they don't want the show to be here, they won't support it. And that, you know, how we know when you want us to go away? When you stop supporting the show. And then we can't pay the bills, and then poof, like that, we're gone. Just like that. So that's what the members community is all about. The members community is a community of people who are supporting this show. $7.50 a month, that comes out to 25 cents a day, and you can't even match that at any other show. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Jeff Harvey. Now, Jeff has been with us on a number of occasions, and in wearing a different hat each time, sometimes as a remote viewer, and sometimes talking about nutrition and health, sometimes talking about how to expand one's consciousness, expand one's mind, and that's what we are going to be talking about this evening. Jeff, it's been a little while since you were with us, but I think you were with us, what, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Correct, right.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. We're delighted to have you back.
My pleasure.
When you were here, you have made mention of various devices, bits of technology that you use experimentally. You've tried them out. You've experimented with them for the purposes of sort of expanding. I don't know any other way to describe it. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but expanding one's consciousness or skills with consciousness. How do you describe it?
It's a little difficult. You did a good job, because truly what you're trying to do is access parts of your brain and mind matrix, which is a matrix, so that you can get more abilities that you're born with to come to the fore, so that you have more things to work with, tools, so to speak. So what we're looking to do is expand consciousness, but also to expand our repertoire of skill sets that we have already, we just don't use or know we have.
When you were here last time, I think you mentioned a device that you were going to run some experiments with, and you wanted to come back on the show after you ran the experiments to talk with us about it, and that's what we're here for tonight. What's the name of this device, and what is it that it's supposed to do?
Well, a lot of people have seen the television show Paranormal Television, and on there people have seen a headset that was used to do different experiments when they were doing ghost hunting and looking at paranormal experiences. And the Paranormal Shakti is the name of the new system that was taken from the old one, obviously, by the same inventor, Todd Murphy. And the Paranormal Shakti is now an upgraded system that has a whole lot tighter set of software with it. It's very, very pointed towards several things that you can do. One of them is to slowly raise your sensitivity to paranormal phenomenon. Let's say if you're a ghostbuster, a ghost hunter, or you are investigating those sort of things. Or let's say you happen to be someone who's doing evocation work. Let's say you're someone who does exorcisms, or let's say you're someone who is interested in actually evoking demons or other entities like angels and many other spirit realm people or entities, so to speak. What you're looking to do is stimulate your ability to sense those things and to actually have an affinity for that. So let's say you're someone who does evocation work. All right, you can use things like the radionics devices I've talked with you about before, Kevin, which are very good for charging up a sigil or a symbol to actually give it energy so that you can do operations with it. Well, there's also the Paranormal Shakti system now, which uses gentle magnetic signals strobing the brain to make you more sensitive, or the areas of your mind that and your brain matrix that work on those things, to become more sensitive so that you sense those things. And when an evocation is working and you're sensing that that entity is in the room with you, you want to be able to be more sensitive to it. So it's a great way for people who are doing those things to do it.
Why would anybody want to invoke a demon?
Well, let's talk about the word demon. Where did it come from? Well, it basically came from the most of it came from the Catholic Church because they didn't want people doing magic work.
Well, actually, it's a Greek word that means spirit. It's daemon, It just
right,
means spirit.
It's diamond.
The religious folks, way back. And I want to be fair. Yes, the Catholic Church, but they were not the only ones.
No,
there were other groups that were not Catholic that also assigned evil definitions to demon. But
right.
Okay, but we understand that in today's context, we understand demon has evil attached to it. Why would somebody want to call up one of these guys?
Well, if you think of them as not evil, but you think of them as just entities that you can contact, because if you look at the good and the dark side, supposedly there's two sides, there are angels that will be used to go out and slaughter someone for you, and there are angels that are used to help heal people. There are also, quote-unquote, demons that can also do the same thing. So they all do pretty much the same thing. The question is how specific is their skill set? So let's say you're a parishioner who is very...
Okay, you need to not tap your desk.
Thank you. Let's say you're a parishioner, and you happen to be very devout, and you're going on a trip, and you want to evoke the spirit of one of the angels to help you in your travels. And you've got your St. Christopher's medal, and you're trying to contact St. Christopher to help you out with your trip. That's what some people do. Other people might be interested in approaching the realm of understanding psychological occurrences or spiritual entities, and they want to learn the secrets of maybe chemistry or something. There are entities to learn those things from. So there are many different things that you can contact, and the jury is still out on what these entities really are, whether they're actually thought forms that were given life many, many, many thousands of years ago that were used over and over again, or whether or not they are something that has predated mankind.
All right, so let's talk about that. What are there actual demons? Are there actual angels? Are these things that come to life because of people's perceptions? What do you say?
Well, that's the interesting part, because I don't know of anyone that actually knows for a fact. There's a fellow who writes a book, E.A. Coetting, Eric Coetting, and I've read several of his books, and they're good documents. He's got quite a flair for writing style. It's quite dramatic, so it's fun reading. But he's got a lot of good data in there, because he's actually done the work and spent many years researching and doing evocation. And he has opinions on it, and my opinion after reading his work and that of many neuroscientists is that I honestly don't know whether it is something that our mind simply conjures up, or whether these are actual entities that were given life many, many eons ago, and by many centuries of people using these entities to contact them, they've been given more life because of it. We all put out life energy. You can call it a torsion field, you can call it orgone, you can call it whatever you want, chi, prana, ode, whatever.
Body odor?
Do that, what's that?
Body odor?
Well, let's hope we're not doing too much of that.
Okay, well, now, I'm going to play, this is a curious choice of words here, but I'm going to play the devil's advocate on this.
Indeed.
All right, so there are these entities, whether they are real in and of themselves, or whether they are thought forms that have been given life by so many people thinking of them and using their thought patterns. Either way, you said these are entities and that can be contacted, and we shouldn't think of one as evil and another one as good. Okay, as the devil's advocate, that's a bit like saying, well, you know, Caligula was not evil, nor was he good. Hitler was not evil, nor was he good. You could just contact him. And I mean, I think there's some demonstrable evil in the world. And I think there are people who have so identified themselves with it that they themselves are demonstrably evil. So,
but is it not the action? Is it not the actual action that we're attributing the evil to first before we assign the evil of the action to the individual?
Well, for some people, but all action stems from thought. You think it before you do it.
Absolutely.
And the thought patterns that produce Auschwitz, those thought patterns are more devastatingly evil than the behavior itself, because behavior is limited by time and ability, where thought patterns can go way beyond that. So the thinking itself, I think, can be evil.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on that. I look at it this way. Yes, you can label X entity or person as evil based on how they think and what they do, and it takes a lot more evil, I believe, to contemplate and to work out all of the detail of an action that is harmful to someone who has done nothing to you than it is to actually do the deed. But the doing the deed is the personification of the thought. So I agree with you. There are people that are evil in my mind, and there are entities that are evil in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But just like any other tool, like a handgun, how you use that entity or that handgun, whether you're doing target practice or you're shooting up a schoolyard, has a lot to do with whether or not the end result is evil. So
how can you be sure that you can use the entity instead of the entity using you?
That's a good question. And I think a lot of it has to do with how strong is your will. If you're some weak-kneed little thing that can't stand up to a bully, then the truth of the matter is you don't belong playing with those energies. You really don't. And if you're someone whose life becomes very darkened by it, you really need to examine how you go about approaching something like that. Whereas if you're someone that can approach it in a little more pragmatic fashion and say, okay, this particular entity, like Dra Talon, is assignable to a particular individual to murder them, that's a tool. Now, do I want to murder the 4-year-old child in a schoolyard? No. Would I have a problem if I saw some of the architects of the disaster of this country getting whacked? No, I'm sorry. I can't find any remorse in my heart for that.
Mm. Okay, we'll come back to that. I want to talk about the device for a minute. Describe this device.
Well, if you think about a cloth baseball cap with Velcro strips on it, and there's a picture of it that I uploaded to my shopping cart recently in the quantum devices section. It's shop.jefftech.net. There's only one F in Jeff. You can see a picture of it there. And basically that ball cap has Velcro on it. And then there are coils that are basically able to generate gentle magnetic signals. And what they do is they put magnetic signals into the brain that the brain already uses for other things. And they do it in a very gentle way so as to stimulate different sections of the brain that are responsible for sensing these sort of things. And this has taken many, many decades of work. Dr. Michael A. Persinger in Laurentian University did a lot of the work on this. He's the one who manufactured the Shiva system I use, or not manufactured it, but he did the original work that it was based on. And Todd Murphy is the inventor of these technologies. And so this baseball cap, you put the coils on in different positions, depending on what session you want to run, whether you want to be more sensitive to these things or less sensitive. And you hook them up into your computer and you run the software. and you simply lay down with the baseball cap on, and you close your eyes in a darkened room. I usually put in my earplugs, and I just relax for an hour and get those signals placed in there. And what happens is, over the course of several sessions, it gets your brain able to better sense these things. So it's a simple process, and it's not expensive anymore.
What are some of the, we've got about 3 minutes here until we have to take a break. What are some of the possibilities advertised with this system?
Well, there's not a lot of possibilities that are advertised yet because there's a lot of experimentation going on right now. But what you can do is you can go to graveyards, you can go to haunted houses, you can go to any place where paranormal phenomenon like ley lines have been noticed. Let's say you are interested in ET UFO contact. Well, you would want to sensitize your brain to these experiences so that you can sense when those sort of beings are in the area. There's a lot you can do in that regard.
So how, as I understand it, there's software that runs this thing. How do you program the software, minute and a half, how do you program this software, tell it, okay, I want to see a ghost?
Okay. All right. It's not that I want to see a ghost. It's I want to be more sensitive to if there is a ghost present in an area. I want to be able to sense that it's there so I can perceive it and then perhaps see it. And so what you do is you simply select a particular session to do that. And there are several sessions to choose from. And you select the one that matches your desire. And you simply click run. You set up the volume control for the levels, and you hit run, put the hat on, and lay down, and off you go. Very simple.
Okay, and so how long do you lay there with the hat on? 30 seconds.
All right, two types of sessions. You're looking at a 40-minute session or a 60-minute session. So you've got the ability to run either one. I typically run a 60, but if you're strapped for time, run a 40. Very simple.
All right, we're going to step away for a break, and when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the experiment that has been run, or experiments, and what some of the results have been. So you want to be sure and gather around the radio, ladies and gentlemen. Get your friends, your neighbors, and even your enemies, because when we come back from break, we're going to dive into some of these experiments, and then we're going a little bit later to come back to something Jeff already talked about. We'll be back right after this.
www.kevinsmithshow.com. Course set for fantastic, Captain. Oh, my.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jeff Harvey. So, Jeff, you said you dial up one of the sessions. How are they labeled? Does it say, okay, run this session? Is there instruction manual or something that says run this session if you want to be more sensitive to ghosts? Run this one if you want to call demons. Run this one if you want to call angels. Run this one if you want to see ETs or be sensitive to them. How do you know what session to run? You know, it helps if I turn your mic on, Jeff. Hang on. There you go. How do you know?
All right, so I have the software in front of me right now, and the first choice you have is raise your sensitivity to paranormal pollution slowly over time. Now, the inventor of this technology looks at the term paranormal pollution as a type of mind effect. Now, the second one is raise your sensitivity temporarily while on site at a paranormal location. And then the next one is to reduce the sensitivity to paranormal events. So if you're raising the sensitivity or reducing the sensitivity, it doesn't matter whether it's ET, whether it's a demon, whether it's an angel, or whether it happens to be some other type of entity out there. So it's very generic in that regard, because sensitivity to these things is sensitivity to these things. Your brain doesn't differentiate between types of entities or presences.
Okay, so let's talk about some experiments that you've run with this. What have you done, and what kind of results have you gotten?
All right, this has been interesting because we've spent the last 2 weeks doing sessions on and off in a sequence so that we can actually get tuned up to these things. Now, we didn't run any sessions to dampen the effects. Everything we did was basically designed to stimulate the slow rise of paranormal sensitivity. So I'm going to go over these with you, the ones that we actually did recently. We started out, and I'll go over the first ones with you to start with.
But this don't get bogged down in too much detail, though. Just give us the overview of them.
Sure. We basically started with the first one, which is we took the hippocampus signal that you normally have in your brain, and we put it over both hemispheres of the brain. And then we followed that by taking the amygdala signal over the left side of the brain. And that was the way we started. That was the very first one we did. Then after that, and that one was designed to enhance your sensation of a presence. So then we decided, okay, we've laid the foundation. Now we're going to go over to increasing the psychic perceptions at paranormal and other locations. So the next thing we did, we ran the opposite of that, where we took the amygdala signal over both sides of the brain, followed by the hippocampus signal over the right-hand side of the brain. And that's when we started getting tremendous results. But it was very important to set up the sense of presence first in the first session, and then go to being able to increase your perceptions after you've set it up to start with. So that's how we did what we did. Now, what we did over the course of the last 2 weeks was we started logging any events that happened paranormally after we did the sessions to begin increasing the sensitivity. And so the dream states went right off the chart. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of them, I was in an astral projection, a very lucid dream, where I was on a hillside, and I went down into an area that was very dark, and there were a lot of buildings that were blown out. It was a lot like a post-apocalypse scene, where the windows of buildings were blown out, everything was dark, and there was a faint light coming from one building. I went up into the stairwell, I went to the top of the stairs following where the light was coming from, and in an apartment up there, I was greeted at the door by someone with a shotgun, and I explained who I was, and I was just there to talk. So I went inside, and these people said they were there for 50 years. What was interesting to note was they were dead. And so I said, well, that's really odd. In an astral projection, typically I can walk right through a wall, I don't have to go up the stairs. And number two, you can't pick up a shotgun and point it at me, but yet you're doing that. So it was a very anomalous dream in that regard. So that was one of them. Now, then there was later on another dream that happened after I did the on-site session. So I'll talk to you a little bit about the on-site session. There were three of us that did these. And when we were looking at these different sessions, basically, there was myself, Evan, and Mike, and we all did the sessions, not at the same time, but basically the same sessions in the same sequence. We were not able to get all of the sessions done that we normally would have before you hit the site, but we still got tremendous results from it. We got to, there are two vortices, here in the Scranton area. They're right on Kaiser Avenue. One's at the junction of the Coal Mine Tour Road, and the other one's at the junction of 476 and Kaiser Avenue. And these are two of the largest ley line intersections in the country. They've got at least seven ley lines in a spiral formation going into the center. So we went down there, and we went down about dusk, and we didn't have enough time to do an on-site session, and we had done our sessions prior to that. So we went up, and we went to what was nearby the actual center of the vortex, and we sat down on the ground, and I brought along with me a radionics chi shooter, which basically is linked to my massive generator here on my desk, and I used that to charge up the sigil, as well as concentrating and focusing on it for one of the entities I was working on. And what we did was, is we basically did a theta level meditation. Mike was doing theta gamma. And because I'm a trained remote viewer, I just went down into theta because I don't have too much trouble getting to gamma after theta. And so we did that. And very shortly thereafter, I sensed two presences, one over my back and one over in the bushes off to my left. Mike actually saw the faces of entities in the trees, and he saw a lot of them. And it was very interesting because when we did this, we weren't expecting a whole lot because we didn't finish our sessions that we needed to finish for an on-site work. So it was very interesting what happened. But what was more exciting was after that, when we got done, we went down by the cars, which is about a quarter mile away, and one of the things that happened before we went down to the cars, it was just towards the end of what we were doing as the exercise. I had my eyes closed, and the vehicles were about a quarter mile away behind some bushes. And I actually sensed a vehicle coming down the road and pull up behind our vehicles, though I didn't hear it, and I certainly couldn't see it with my eyes closed. And when I opened my eyes, sure enough, it was there, right where I had sensed it. So its ability to help you sense presences, it does not appear that it's specifically entity related. How do I phrase that? It does look like it heightens your other senses somehow, and I'm not certain how, because I couldn't hear the vehicles pull up that far away, and I certainly couldn't see them because my eyes were closed and it was dark. So that happened. So then we went down to the vehicles after we were all done, and we decided what we were going to do was go get a bite to eat. Evan and I decided to go hit a restaurant. Mike was going to go and do a couple of evocations. He's been working with one of Eric's friends, Dante. And so he's going to be doing some evocation work. So Evan and I went off and we had a meal. And we did a toast with one of the chalices we had, and I went home. What was interesting was that night, my dreamscape changed radically. Now, as you know from my military intelligence days, I've lost literally years of memories, and I have no idea why or how, but I haven't been able to access them, and it's been really frustrating, and the only thing that's been able to help is the radionics devices. And so I went to sleep, and at dawn I woke up, and I had a dream on the edge of waking up, because I went back to sleep and dropped back down into that theta state. And I was at a kitchen. I opened the door and a radish fell out of the bag. And as I was putting it back into the crisper, I sensed a presence behind me. And so I felt this really ominous presence. So I quickly put the crisper back and I went hunting to see what it was. So I went into one room. It was very dark. I could see the shapes of furniture, and I couldn't sense anything in there. So I went into the next room, which was better lit, which was a large living room, and I could sense a presence coming from the wall. And the next thing I heard was the voice of my grandmother, only her voice was very, very different. And in this dream, I could not remember that my grandmother was already dead. So in this particular dream, I said to her, I said, you know, your voice is unbelievable. It's like you're 10 or 20 years younger. It's so strong. I said, have you passed? And somehow subconsciously, I must have known, obviously. And she said to me, she says, what do you mean? I said, are you dead? And she said, yes, I am. And, of course, I was a little grief-stricken by that, and that actual bit of grief I felt woke me up out of the dream.
All right. I got a question. I want to go back before we get too far down the road here.
Okay.
We started out with you seeing this apocalyptic-looking area with windows blown out and looks like it's bombed out. You have a guy that shows up and points a shotgun at you. And you said that's pretty strange because normally they would not be able to do that. How do you account for that?
Well, in the dream state, if you think of spirits and things like that, they don't have the ability to manipulate matter in quite that fashion. So I know there's a lot of discussion of spirits manipulating matter, and they do that, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you had a fellow come to the door of the apartment with a shotgun. He looked just like you or I. There wasn't any ghostly, wispy apparition. It was just a guy and his wife who had been there for 50 years, but they were dead. So in the dream state, as I was consciously thinking about what was happening and speaking with them, I said to them, I said, it's pretty odd that you being dead, you're able to handle a weapon, you know, or pick up a solid matter object like that. And normally, in these type of projections, I have no trouble putting my hand through a wall or walking through walls. And I was not able to do it in that particular environment. So all I'm saying with this is that in that regard, in that particular dream state, it was very anomalous, and it didn't fit any of the patterns that had gone on before.
All right. We have to step away for a break here in just a few seconds. But when we come back, and I do want you to continue, I want you to go forward with what you have discovered in these experiments. But before we move forward, I want you to address, how do you know, don't do it now because we have a break coming up, but how do you know that these are not hallucinations being induced by this device as opposed to something else, more, for lack of a better word, real, more genuine? How do you know that it's not the ball cap causing you to hallucinate? So we'll let you answer that when we come back. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I don't know what happened during the break. We lost the video, though we're still connected with our guest. But the video is back now, so maybe he just switched it off. I don't know. But my guest this evening is none other than Jeff Harvey. And we're talking about some futuristic science. We're talking about this futuristic science being applied to heighten a person's sensitivity to paranormal phenomena, and also being used to heighten their skill set with this paranormal phenomena. So as we went away for break, I said, how do you know? I asked the question, Jeff, how do you know that it's not just the technology causing hallucinations? How do you know that you're actually experiencing these things?
Interesting question, and there's several answers to that. First of all, you're asking me on a specific instance, and when it comes to dream states, I look at all dream states to me as being an advanced form of television entertainment, except without the programming nonsense. So anything in the dream state, as far as I'm concerned, is basically your mind working with life in general and giving you lessons sometimes, or sometimes precognitive messages that come in because your mind is able to do things outside of time that your brain is not. Now let's go a little step further. Let's go out into someone who's doing, let's say, an evocation of a particular entity, where they actually, they've got a sensor, they're doing the pillar of smoke from the sensor, the smoke coalesces into the form of a whatever, humanoid form, an animal, whatever it happens to be. And in their mind, they see this. Now the question is it a hallucination or is it not? Well, let's say they have a conversation with this particular entity and it gives them a piece of information that they don't already have. It's pretty clear that's no hallucination, especially if that's provable information, obviously. But let's take it a little further. Let's say they assign this entity to go complete a task that typically they can't complete. And that task is complete within a very short period of time. That's no hallucination. And as you know, because you're a biblical scholar, they have discussed many things that are similar to this in the Bible. When Mike saw those faces in the trees, you know that many documents out there talk about there being many, many entities all around us all the time. We just don't see them. And the theory is, and I stress the word theory, is that perhaps they are on a different dimension or plane than we are. And so our minds typically cannot access those dimensions.
All right, so let me ask you a question. If we cannot see them typically, are they seeing us?
Boy, I'd love to know that answer. It'd certainly change my behavior, wouldn't it?
Well, you brought up, you just touched on biblical information about this, and there actually is a verse that says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Is that what you're referring to?
Correct.
Yeah, I thought it might be. Of course, the theologians all have different views on that, and I've read a lot of different views about that. And most of the conservative theologians, they say that this refers to all the people who have passed on before and are in heaven, and the angels of God, and they're all watching us. I don't know whether that is true or not, but if it is, then it would indicate that these entities, as you refer to them, can see us when we cannot see them.
It does suggest that, but I'm like you. I don't buy into any of it until I know, and I use that word very carefully, till I know that that's the fact.
Okay, so it sounds to me like your answer about hallucinations is that on the one hand, hallucinations are possible. On the other hand, reality is possible, and you have to sort of vet the information afterward to determine which it was.
This is exactly why you're the ideal host for this, because your job when you were over in East Timor was very similar to this. You would take the pieces of information, you'd find out what's hokum, and you would find out what has an unexplainable basis. You'll come up with some theories on what might be the case, and then you just look for more data to substantiate one side or the other. I think in many cases it's been proven for a fact that there many of us have hallucinations on a regular basis, but they're just minor ones. They're no big deal. But if you're using the neural stimulation system to stimulate your ability to sense these things, and it's able to help you sense things like I sensed that car pulling in down there at that long distance away behind the vehicles, that's heightening senses. There's no doubt about it. That's very empirical evidence. So when I have used this, and you know I have a background with this type of device because I've used it for many years, and I've had a lot of very unexplainable occurrences from it, but now that I've started to do it again, things are starting to escalate much faster than they ever did before. So I expect to have a lot more data for you soon, and I do a log of every session that I have, and I log any interesting results. So I have a lot of that data, and as soon as I get things that I can start proving, I'll provide the data and certainly show it to you.
How many of you are involved in doing these experiments?
With this particular device or the Shiva Shakti family of devices?
No, this device.
This device, right now there's three of us working on it. Todd probably has, I would think, I don't know for a fact, I'll have to ask him. He probably has another half a dozen out there that are working with it currently. It has only just been released recently, so there's not that many out there. But the early results are showing that it's incredibly fast compared to the older Shakti technology, and a lot better than the one that was used on the television show that Todd also made. This is much more fine-tuned.
And what is this one called?
Paranormal Shakti. S-H-A-K-T-I. And I'm going to put up a whole slew of pages on my site regarding this. I have it in the store section right now, but I'm going to put up a slew of documentation on it on the site, and people will actually be able to go down through and scroll through the pages and learn about it and see what they think.
Well, I know what a dozen is. I know what a gross is. I know what a ton is. What's the quantity for a slew?
Slightly larger than a gross and slightly less than a bushel.
Okay.
And as you know, that's a little dichotomy there, too.
All right, so we got a slew of pages coming with information about this device, Paranormal Shakti. And what are you going to put in there? Are you going to, is it going to describe your experiments and the results, or what will be on these pages?
All right. There are literally dozens of pages that are involved in this. There's going to be information on poltergeist, ghost experiences. There are going to be information on what's been done in the laboratories already that they know. You're going to find different reported paranormal experiences. You're going to find out the different session types you can run and why they work with the brain. And one of the interesting things is Todd has written several ebooks, and he's got a couple of very interesting videos on this. And anyone who gets one of these devices is going to get a link to that so they can actually see a lot of the underpinning data that went behind all of this work. And it's literally a couple of decades of work between Todd and Dr. Persinger and others in the laboratory, as well as hundreds of subjects that have come through and done tests. This isn't something that somebody just slapped together in a weekend. This is several decades of work culminating in something that's very focused to these purposes.
What price range are we looking at on this? And there's a reason I'm asking.
All right, the U.S. version is $317.50 with U.S. shipping included. International is $330 with shipping included. It's not out of the range of any paranormal investigator, considering some of the devices they buy, like signal generators and oscilloscopes.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and welcome to the second hour of the show. Those of you who are joining us just now, in this second hour. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you from the first hour, and all my best hopes, dreams, wishes, prayers, and energies are extended to you in hopes that you never have to suffer that tragedy again. We're talking with Jeff Harvey, and we're talking about a device, brand new device, called Paranormal Shakti. It is a device that uses software to and some things attached to a cap that you wear, some little coils, and it sends pulses of magnetic energy into your brain. The software is designed to send these pulses in a way that activates certain parts of your brain to make you more sensitive to paranormal phenomena. So that's what we're talking about. And as we went away for break, I had just asked, how much does this thing cost? And Jeff, and by the way, we will open the telephone lines in just a moment. Jeff, you said, I'll just round it off. It's in the $300 range. So two questions. First about that. Why would I want to spend $300 to see a ghost?
That's a good question. There are a lot of people out there that have questions. They've had questions since they were children. They were in their bedroom at night, and there were dark shapes floating around in there, and they were scared, and they pulled up the covers, and they went under the covers. And they didn't know what it was. They don't know what the story is. They became a little bit older, and they realized that, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to face it. So many people out there are interested in facing their fears and also finding out what's really out there, finding out what the truth is. You're certainly not going to get the truth on television. So instead of getting yourself a big LCD screen TV that's going to give you a bunch of information that's next to worthless, why not get something that will allow you to explore some of the questions you've had since childhood and maybe some that have cropped up in adulthood?
Okay, fair
Knowledge
enough.
Knowledge is very priceless.
Fair enough. Now, I want to go back to something you said early, and I said, I want to think about that, and we'll come back to it. You know exactly what it is, and that's when we were talking about evoking demons, and that, you know, you brought up the subject, or you brought up the idea that if these demons wanted to do something to these people that have been participants in the destruction of our country, you would not have any problem with that. All right. Well, that made me think of something, and that is this not then, if it is reality and not hallucination, is this not then an excessively dangerous weapon?
I think that would a lot depend on in whose hands it was. Let me ask you a question. Have you had a handgun in the time you were in East Timor?
Oh, up until I quit being a cop, I wore a gun every single day.
And would you not say that that's an excessively dangerous weapon?
Yeah, but there's a big difference. And here's the difference. Someone uses a gun, and it's absolutely true that guns don't kill people. People kill people. And if you take away the guns, they'll use knives. And at one point, there were no guns, there were no knives. And, you know, you had a brother who committed murder on his brother using a rock. So, you know, when people want to kill, they're going to find a way, and they'll do it. However, having said that, if someone uses a gun, we can do ballistics testing, and we can trace, most of the time, you can trace it down to the gun, and you know which gun specifically it came from, and then you can trace that down to who had that gun. And so you have some investigative leads. But if what we're doing is using this technology to evoke a demon to open up a can of whoop-ass on somebody, who's going to do ballistics? You can't do ballistics.
That's not true. And let's go over a couple of items first. There's a couple of flaws in the analogy. It's a good one.
Okay.
Because I've gone over this a few times. All right, let's say tomorrow I decide I'm going to off someone, and I go out and I shoot them with my weapon, whatever it happens to be. And I take that home, and I take a hacksaw, and I hack off the tip, and I have it recrowned at a local gun shop, and maybe even have a little engraving put in the end of it. There's no ballistics that are going to match that. Now, let's go over to, let's say somebody evokes Draw Talon and sends them out to do some deed, and that deed indeed comes to pass. The guy has a heart attack, car runs off the road and smashes into a tree, whatever it happens to be. You would think that there's no evidence anywhere. Well, there's none that would stand up in court. No, I'll agree with you there. However, you and I both know that it takes about, an hour and a half, and you can do a remote viewing session on the source, and you can find out where that issue or that command came from. That's not that tough of a deal for people like us.
But as you said, it's not going to stand up in court.
And, I agree with you.
And with other types of weapons, look, even if somebody uses a pair of wire cutters to get into a building, you can very often trace right back to the set of wire cutters because of the marks left by the wire cutters. And yes, sometimes ballistics fails to identify a weapon. Sometimes when you identify the weapon, you still can't identify what hand it was in when it was used in the crime. Yes, that's true, but at least you have something that you can trace down, and when you do trace it down, it is courtable evidence.
Absolutely.
But with this, it's not, however you trace it down, you're not going to be able to put it into court. And
right,
there is no law against evoking a demon to kill somebody.
That's correct. Now let's go a little further, though. First of all, this particular technology is designed for one purpose and one purpose only: to help you sense presences.
Okay.
Now, when you're talking about evoking a demon, you're not talking about using paranormal Shakti to do that. It won't do that. Evoking a demon or an entity is done with a ritual, and it's done using the mind of the person, and there is no headset involved in that. It's got nothing to, evoking an entity has nothing to do with using the paranormal Shakti. The paranormal Shakti is simply able to help you sense the presence of entities. So no, this technology is not dangerous at all, because it does not do the action of evoking an entity or sending it out to go do your bidding. That's
okay,
done
fair enough.
With ritual.
Fair enough. Good answer. And I want to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join in tonight's conversation. And the way you do that is you pick up your telephone and you dial these numbers, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you may use the telephone, or we have an additional option for you on the website called a flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Good. I have a question. I don't know if you know the answer, though. There's something I saw on Through the Wormhole, and this guy had something called TDCS, and it was similar to what you're talking about. They put this band on someone's head, the doctor involved wanted to find out if, what do they call it? The Rain Man. What do they call that?
Well, that's all right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go
ahead. And they wanted
ahead.
To see if they could do, and make that part of the brain in anybody work. And they found out that they could do it. They could take, like, somebody and stimulate that part of the brain, and you would immediately be able to play the piano like any great pianist, or paint a beautiful picture like Leonardo da Vinci, or anything like that.
Okay, so what's your question
after
about
this
it?
Was done, this would not leave you.
So your question is what?
Is do you have anything like that, or will this work in that way?
Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, I know where you're going. All right, there are a lot of experiments going on out there right now to do these sort of things to help people be able to develop abilities and skills that they simply didn't develop as children, or they didn't have those because certain parts of their brain weren't properly strobed or stimulated or wired a certain way. So there's a lot of technology out there, and perhaps one day they'll be able to do that with one of the technologies we use. That's not currently one of the uses for it, though.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it sure is, because I like your idea.
Okay, Tony, you got another question?
Thank you, Harvey, and thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you. 623-444-5889. Or if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call the number, or you can send me a flash message. Either way, we want to hear from you. I know you got questions about this. This is some strange technology for most of us, because it's something we're not familiar with, and it is pretty futuristic. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
A fascinating, fascinating subject tonight. And Mr. Harvey, I'm so glad you're a guest tonight and that this is your topic. My first and immediate question to you involves the use of melatonin. Have you tried, or any of your co-experimenters on this, tried to use your programming with the use of melatonin?
All right, that's a good question, Steve. And the reason why it's good is because when we use these programs, we typically do them just after the fall of dark, because your melatonin production naturally starts rising at that point. And it assists certain brain structures in doing the things we want to get done. Now, I do know that some people have tried using melatonin. I don't know that they've gotten any better results or not. When I do a session in the daytime, let's say I wake up early morning, and I'm usually waking up around dawn. So just as the crack of lights are hitting the sky, I wake up, but I usually go back to sleep so that I can actually do some work down in theta state. But if I do a session during the daytime, what I'll do is I'll pull down the shades, close the drapes, I'll put a dark cloth over my eyes, and I'll put earplugs in, because it turns out that with sensory deprivation like that, you have a tendency to start producing a little bit of melatonin, and so you can artificially do that. I don't see any reason why you couldn't try that, and quite frankly, I'm all for anything that improves the experience. So it sounds like a good idea to try. I have not done it, though, yet.
Well, the reason I ask is, I'm a night shift worker, have been for years, and, my circadian rhythm is all shot, and has been for a long time. So I don't normally, I go to sleep during the day when melatonin production is diminished. Couple that with the fact that I'm getting kind of old, and as we get older, you know, our melatonin production falls away as well, which is why elderly people typically don't sleep for 6 or 8 hours at a time. Right, Kevin? You know, we grab sleep when we can. And
I take melatonin
to help me. And if I were to use your product, which I'm leaning toward, you know, I would be taking melatonin as I go to sleep, because I don't make so much of my own anymore. I have another question for you. Are you acquainted with the work of Franz Barden?
Yes, I'm reading his book on hermetics now, and I love some of the exercises. But before we go into that, you touched a point that needs to be stressed here. First of all, you're quite correct. What Kevin didn't mention at the outset of the program is I'm board certified in nutrition, and I specialize in detox for my patients. And the reason many people don't produce melatonin as they get older, which most of the mainstream doctors won't tell you, is that toxin deposition over the course of their lifetime gets into the body and the brain structures in the extracellular matrix and stops proper functioning and excretion and secretion. So the way to do that, and what I do this for all of my patients that need detox, whether it's for heavy metals or radiation or whatever, I put them through the HEAL detox kit. And what it does is it strips decades of toxin out of the extracellular matrix to help your brain and your organs and your glands start excreting better again. So it is not a lost cause.
Well, outstanding, Jeff. Lucid dreaming has become an increasingly important phenomenon for me of late. I've been picking up a lot of experiences. I differentiate lucid dreaming from the regular dream state and the regular waking state. It is, and the hypnagogic state, which is an important period for the lucid dreaming. I'm picking up a lot of stuff here, and I think I'm sure you have a website out there, and I know you're going to tell it before the show is over, and I will engage you further on your website, I believe. And Kevin, I just can't thank you enough for bringing this gentleman on your show, and that just stresses and emphasizes to me all the more the importance of the work that you do, Kevin. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. You know, we do talk about things other than UFOs here, as a matter of fact, quite frequently. And one of the areas that we do a lot of talking about is the area of futuristic science. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Brent.
Jeff, I have a couple questions for you.
Go ahead.
The first one concerns the cap itself. How does it work? Are you tied to your computer, or are you able to program the cap and separate yourself
from the computer? You're linking it in through a USB port in your computer. And it works with XP, it works with Vista, it works with Windows 7, so it's not like it's any kind of a problem for the different operating systems. It is not currently available for Mac. However, one of the fellows that does evocation work that I know, Mike, he runs a Mac using a program called Parallel, so it can work with that.
So in other words, you have to you're essentially tied to your computer when you're laying down with your cap.
Yeah, I would love it if we could get it to be portable in a helmet that has nothing tied to it. And I've tried to convince Todd to do that on several occasions, and he's resistant.
Okay, now my second question. Over the course of my lifetime, I have essentially killed 20% of my brain. I have been assured that it has been revived, so it is living tissue again. The only problem is I don't know how to use it. could this technology be used to stimulate that 20% of my brain to the point that I could use it to sense entities?
Okay. You and I have a lot in common. I spent many years in military intelligence watching the intelligence community as a non-handled operative. And for some reason, I don't have any idea why, I've lost literally decades of memories. And I mean a lot of them. I told the story earlier about my grandmother being in that dream and hearing the sound of her voice and recognizing it. But I got to tell you, I have no memory of my grandmother's voice at all. None. So this device has been able to stimulate my long dormant memories. So it turns out that it may be that the memories that get wiped from us, from whatever happens to be the cause, radiation damage, drug use, maybe somebody decided to play with your brain, whatever. The bottom line is those memories evidently are never lost. And the theory behind it is your mind is outside of your brain, and that's why. So what I did was I used the Heal Kit several times. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks to do it. It's very simple. You put the drops under your tongue after a meal, and it strips out the toxins. And once you clean those brain cells off and you start getting those cognitron pathways working again, I've been able to use the Shiva system and the Shakti system to get some of that starting to work again. And I got to tell you, my ability to sense presence now is ridiculous because of it. So I've got a very similar brain to yours in that regard.
Okay, I have one more question for you. This concerns the summoning of entities, angels, demons, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible to summon the information, like tap into the Akasha, get information so you could document how this high-tech stuff works? I mean, the really super high-tech that we don't have.
All right. Eric Coetting has a couple of books on evocation. It's a different art than using the Shakti system. The Shakti system does help sensitize you to do evocation work, and you can evoke certain entities to help you be able to get information. And he's got some books on that are worth reading. At the very least, it's a great read, a phenomenal read. But as far as using the Shakti to tie into the Akashic record, I'll tell you what I've found so far. I've used Shiva and I've used Shakti. I've used the 64 coil, the 16, the 8, and now the paranormal Shakti.
10 seconds.
And what's that?
10 seconds, and then we go to break.
Okay. And so I've been able to tap into it for some information, not everything I want yet.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Brent. Thanks for the call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to step away for a break, and we'll only be gone for a couple of minutes here, and then we'll be back. The telephone lines are open and shall remain open. And we invite you to give us a call at 623-444-5889. We'll be back.
Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Harvey. The telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada and you have a question or comment for the guest, you can either call the number or you can use the flash message. Flash message link is on the website. Scroll down, go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and then right above that picture is a link that says Flash Message. But you got to be outside the USA and outside of Canada to use that. Otherwise, use the telephone. It is, after all, a talk show. Jeff, when we went away for break, Brent was asking about if this device can be used to sort of reactivate the thinking processes and so forth in a part of the brain that has been damaged. I'm still not real clear if you said yes or no.
Right. In my instance, first of all, this isn't a medical device. Brain loss is a medical condition. So we can't really say it's meant to treat or diagnose anything. But I'll tell you what's happened to me. I do not have any memory of my grandmother's voice at all. And after just a couple of sessions with this, I was able to pull that back out of memory that has been damaged for many years. So you take that for what you will. But I'll explain this a little further. I had a conversation with Todd when I told him about my sessions, because I usually run them by him, because he'll tell me what type of session to do next or if I want to have the same type of effects. And it turns out that working with the hippocampal signal at the end of the session is better, and it seems to perhaps have better effects for memory. So that's what I'm going to experiment with and find out if that's actually the case or not. We don't know that for a fact, but there are studies out there going on right now that point to those sort of things.
Would you see this device primarily as a hobby device, something that someone would purchase because they have a sort of a hobby level interest in the paranormal? Or do you see it as something more, and if so, what more?
Well, there's two answers to that question. The audience for this is ridiculous. First of all, any kid that's out there looking to buy a PlayStation would benefit a lot better in high school by playing with something like this to help stimulate areas of their brain to become more creative, more artistic, more sensitive to different things. Now, the other markets that it's good for are anybody who's interested in paranormal investigations. You want to actually go and investigate ghosts, hauntings, that sort of thing. Or you want to have incredibly increased dream states. Everyone that I've been working with so far is telling me their dream states are vastly improved even after only one session. So if you're interested in those things, it's important. So I would say on a hobby level, yes, for everybody. But on a somewhat professional level, because I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a plethora of vehicles out there now with paranormal this or that painted to the side, and they go out and they check into haunted houses and poltergeists and things like that. Those people could use those professionally or in a hobby mode, whatever you prefer to call it. And to do that, the other groups of people would be people who are doing things like evocations or trying to contact the spirit world, mediums, psychics, people like that. And some of them that are not as sensitive all the time as they should be, this might be a good way to try and increase that sensitivity so they could actually do a better job at what they do.
Would not this device, if it gets really wide play, and by that I mean lots and lots and lots and loads and a slew of people buying it, would this not have a negative effect on mediums and their business side of what they do? I mean, why would I need a medium then?
Well, that's an interesting question. And first of all, if you look at it this way, a medium is somebody who does astrological work, they do psychic work, and they might want to become more sensitive so they can do a better job. They've got years of practice doing it, so this would only increase their abilities. So, yes, it might cut down on the business of some, but those are people who probably are losing business anyway because they're no good at what they do. The other side that you and I did not discuss on this is the ability to sense presence for things like ET contact. That's something we didn't cover.
Well, let's cover that. How would it work for that?
Well, there's a lot of people that are doing work right now on meditative practices to try and contact ET groups. And you know about them. They're all over the place, up at eSETI and other places. And they do a lot of meditative contact work. Well, by going down into that theta state with this and using it to sense presence and paranormal, it's activating those areas of the brain that you would use for those sort of contacts. So it is absolutely the ideal tool for doing something like that.
Does this device require any kind of licensing in order for it to be manufactured and sold?
No, it's not a medical device. This is strictly an experimental device.
All right. And you don't have to have any special training to use this? Let me put it this way. Is it possible for somebody to misuse this accidentally and really scramble up their thought processes?
All right. First of all, let's go over a couple of things when you get your software. Before we sell a device to someone, we explain to them one thing that's very important. If you have a compromised brain structure, if you've had brain damage, this isn't your tool or toy. There's a lot of people out there that have got issues like epileptics and others that they shouldn't be playing with anything that allows them to change brain states or to be able to experience other things. Most of those people are on severe meds and they shouldn't play with anything like that. Now, having said that, people who do get the system, there is warnings about that. And there's also a questionnaire you take in the beginning that you send it back. You actually log into a feedback source, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. You log into the feedback source. You fill out the questionnaire, and you can actually get feedback from customer support on what sessions might be better for you. So there's a lot of safeguards in there to help you get the most out of it. But I don't see any way of scrambling anything with it because I've had nothing but positive results from it so far, and everyone that's used it so far has had the same comment.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. Jap, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi. Jeff, you mentioned about asking these different entities to do something. Is there anything, and Kevin talked a lot about what we would consider demons or good angels, whatever. Is there things that a demon or bad angel can do that a good one can't do?
Well, that's the thing. Every entity, it appears from all the data that's out there, has their own specific skill set, just like a human being does. Some people are carpenters, some are woodworkers. In the entity world, you have some that are good for working on health issues. Some are good for working on your psyche and helping develop your brain. Some are good for working on chemical processes and alchemy. Others are for expanding your spiritual awareness. So when I look at entities, I don't label them demon or angel because I find that to be a little on the uneducated side, if you don't mind my statement. Because when I look at it, it's simply a matter of will this particular entity solve my particular issue or be able to assist me with that? And remember, when you're talking about paranormal Shakti, you're talking about sensitizing your mind and your brain to being able to sense these things. When you're talking about evoking entities, you're talking about a ritual that you perform that has nothing to do with the paranormal Shakti. They're two separate things.
Okay. Now, it sounds a lot, you know, like your device, especially when you're speaking about the head, it might work on, the power of suggestion. How do you know it's not just a power of suggestion? In other words, you don't have to believe in it to work if it's, I guess this is my thought, but if something is actual reality, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's going to work.
That's absolutely the case. That's why there's one fellow who is using this currently, and he is one of these fellows who he has no interest in evoking entities of any kind. He's interested in stimulating his brain to be able to have better dream states and sense things better. He's a martial artist, and he's exceptionally fast. He's exceptionally strong. He reminds me of when I was his age doing martial arts. He's just really fast. And basically, he just wants to improve his psyche and his awareness and his sensitivity. Let's say you're a martial artist and you're doing sticky hands training with Randy Williams. He's one of the foremost on the planet. And this fellow, Evan, who happens to be one of his students, they do sticky hand drills, which are basically close quarter combat drills. Well, your hands are moving so fast with strikes and blocks that your brain must be able to sense or anticipate what the nervous system of the other individual is doing on a micro scale time-wise. And this is what he's using it for. He has no interest in playing with entities or anything, but he has a whole different use for it. So does that answer your question?
Yes. And okay. One more quick one. Has anyone who has asked to see, or however you would phrase it, to see a UFO, has that actually happened as a result of this device, you think?
It's only just been launched a few weeks ago. This is brand new technology. The Shiba neural stimulation system by the same manufacturer has been used for those things, and the reports have been some people have. But the paranormal Shakti is very new. We don't have enough data on it. What we do have is we know the ability to sense presence and sense paranormal activity is extremely heightened in all the subjects that have tested it so far. So I'm quite encouraged that this is what it's going to be used for a lot of people.
Alrighty. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Kevin.
Alright, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That would be the magic combination. There's a little square rectangular device probably in your hand or nearby, and it has some numbers on it. If you touch those numbers using this combination, it will transport you to the studio. 623-444-5889. Wham! Just like that. It'll transport you over here to the studio where you can talk with me and with Jeff and the world. Let me check very quickly on the Flash message board, and no, we do not have any as yet. Jeff, you opened up kind of a new vista for discussion here in talking about other things that this device can be used for. And we'll do a little bit more of that when we come back from this break. But we do have to take a break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on final approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. My guest this evening, of course, is Jeff Harvey. Jeff, as we went away for break, I said you had mentioned something that sort of opened up some new vistas for discussion here, and we don't have much time, but you talked about a guy that is using this basically to increase his performance, to enhance his performance as a martial artist.
Correct.
Okay, now.
Go ahead.
All right. Can you foresee, this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, there was a time before what they call blood doping was against the regulations in sports, and now it is against the regulations. Can you foresee a time when they will say that using a device like this to enhance your performance is against regulations? And if so, how are they going to test for that?
I don't think for a second they would even try that, because how are you going to test for it? And I'm all for cheating in a good way. As far as cheating with drugs, that just doesn't make any sense. But people have been using radionics to enhance their performance in sports for decades. The Russians are absolute masters at it. And there's no tracing, there's no tracking. And the Shakti, as you heard from when I was out on site at the Vortex, it increased my perception, not just of paranormal activity, but my perception of a vehicle that was off in the distance that I couldn't hear or see. I actually perceived it. So I see this, for me, as being great for enhancing perceptions. And so for a martial artist, it may very well produce similar results.
What if you decide you're out at a site and your perception is so heightened and you're having so many, you're seeing so many paranormal things around you that you kind of go into overload and you want to turn it off, but your machine, you left it at the bus station. You're high and dry now. What do you do?
Okay, now I'm with you. Yeah, because normally you would just run a frontal lobe session and shut it down. One of the things that you're going to find, or people who play with their brain, or do remote viewing, or do psychic perception work, or enhanced perception work, you're going to find that most of these people are reasonably strong-willed people, and even if you had an onslaught like that, all you would have to do, go over to your car and throw on the radio and blast that baby, and it will overcome your senses, just like going into a casino. You're going to a casino and your senses are overloaded on purpose. They do that to disable your ability for critical thinking, so you spend more money. So you just simply overload your senses with some loud music, and you'll be able to shut that stuff down in a heartbeat. And the temporal lobes are where a lot of that activity happens, and that's why we have a session just for shutting down while you're on site, because a lot of times you'll do a session on site to heighten it, and so you will have your system there. And so if you want to shut it down, you just do a temporal lobe at the end.
So it sounds like you're essentially doing an electronic lobotomy.
Yeah, only it's extremely short term. It's just like if I and you were sitting in the car and we're driving on our way to somewhere to have a meal together, and we're in the middle of an unbelievably intense conversation, and I flip the dial on the radio and I turn it up really loud. If you weren't trained the way you were, you're just an average everyday Joe Blow, you're going to lose your train of thought because you got sidetracked with all that loud noise. And whereas somebody who's trained, obviously, will lock back on and go ahead and reapproach the target. So it's very easy to do.
All right, let's take our last caller for the evening. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, well, we tried. So... what about someone who is extremely well trained, and I want to shut it down, and I turn the radio up? That's not going to get it. Of course, if I turn it on and I've got Kiss doing "Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day," that might do it.
I hear you. Yeah. First of all, a highly trained person like yourself isn't going to leave home without their system. That's what the people do that don't think. You're talking
well,
about two different
I appreciate that, but the fact is none of us are perfect. And, you know, it is a possibility that you could.
All right, then what I would do And I have no interest in shutting down. I don't think you'll ever see me run a temporal lobe session while I'm still on this planet alive in this husk. But what I would do, if I had to shut it down, I would simply go into a theta state meditation. I put a thought form in my mind, and I would focus on it, because being highly trained, that's nothing. I can do a remote viewing session in the middle of a battlefield if I needed to, and I could tune the whole thing out. So just like that, with all that psychic input, you mm-hmm. can do the same thing. So highly trained people, that's just not an issue.
I slept through a machine gun fight one time.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes time for my 4 hours, it's on.
Your 4 hours.
And I go to sleep, and that's it. Yeah, it was an amazing thing. There actually was a machine gun fight between a couple of people right under my window in my yard. I didn't know it. But if one of those people, this is true, if one of those people had stepped on a twig, it would have, I would have been sitting straight up and alert and awake and ready for action. But with a machine gun, I figured, you know, well, those bullets aren't coming through the wall. It's not meant for me, not my business. I got to go to sleep.
Yep.
I didn't even know about it until after it was over. But there were shells, spent cartridges all over under the window. And there had been a battle royal right there.
Well, that's the difference between a trigger word and a trigger sound. When you program your mind like that, if it's not in your repertoire of trigger words or sounds, it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. And when it's time for my 4 hours, that's 4 hours that I'm absolutely dead to the world.
Good job. And
I can't extend it very far either. When it's time for it to start, when it's time for that 4 hours to start, I can't extend very far into that. I've got to lay down. It's on.
Yeah, but because the brain starts shutting down because it expects it.
And then at the end of the 4 hours, doesn't matter if I say, I want to sleep in today. Ain't happening. I can lay there, but there won't be any sleep.
I'm with you. I know exactly what you mean. It's difficult in the morning sometime for me to go back into theta level and do some work when I know I've got a day ahead. My brain will say, no, you've got assignments. You've got to complete them. Go get it done. You can play with your brain later.
All right, Jeff, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. We've run out of time, but please do stay on the telephone, on the line with me here as I bring this in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, there are all kinds of advances taking place with futuristic science all the time and all over the world. They are not all earth-ending disastrous weapons. Some of them are, as Jeff has described, sort of human, pro-human. They're pro-human. I don't know if you are sort of disposed to try something like that, but if you are, well, now you know about it. It's called Paranormal Shakti. It's brand new. Experiments are being run on it, and you are among the first to ever hear about the results of the experiments. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.